Times has released a new report this week on our public education system. It's entitled Raising the Bar and Closing the Gap, Schools, Income, and Student Success in Halifax. Written by Schoolhouse Consulting's Paul Bennett, the report suggests that where children live here in the HRM has a strong bearing on the quality of education they get. And Paul Bennett joins me on the phone now to tell us more about this. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
How are you today, sir?
Very well. Thanks for inviting me on to talk about my new report.
Well, thank you for joining us here today. I'm curious about, again, the first sentence in the release, and it says, where children live in the Halifax region does have a strong bearing on the quality of their education. Explain for us, please.
It's called postal code education, and where you do live in Halifax has a strong bearing on the quality of education that children receive. Whether that's in affluent, highly educated communities where students generally do better, my research shows, or whether you live in a challenged community, a disadvantaged community where the schools are doing terrible, to be honest. So that's the number one finding of the report. But there are two others I'd like to mention that don't get a lot of attention, and I wanted to highlight them today.
Sure.
The second thing, Rick, is that serious efforts were expended by the Halifax Regional School Board from 2008 to the present to change the trajectory of schools. First was the Good Schools to Great Schools initiative launched by Carol Olson, and the second one was Priority Schools, started in 2014 by Elwin LaRue. Neither of those initiatives really changed the trajectory for kids that were struggling, and the results are in, and they really aren't appreciably different. And a final point I'd like to make today, and I think it's really important in this report, is a clear illustration of how we're not serving kids who are struggling in school very well. And I use this phrase, which I think captures it all. Of students who have less is expected in schools. And that, I think, is borne out in the report. And that is that we, instead of supporting kids in struggling communities in those schools to improve and raise their standards, we've gotten into this cycle where we kind of make it easier for them, put them on independent programs, and actually short-circuit their education. So I think there's a lot in this report, and I really would encourage your listeners to look at the maps, the interactive maps, which bore down into each and every school and show the mean household income by census district and where the kids come from in each of those schools and all the results that have been publicly made available.
Mm. But doesn't all of the schools in this HRM all have the same curriculum, do they not? So why is it that, I understand it, you know, socioeconomic conditions and such, but if they're all being taught the same curriculum, what is going wrong in the schools where kids are struggling?
Well, less is expected of those who have less. That's quite clear when you look at just the number of kids that are, say, identified and put on independent programs of study, which means that they will likely not graduate to be qualified to attend universities. The Black Report, supported by the Black Educators Association. Essentially, my report supports what the Black Report says and what the Black educators have been saying. Far too many kids are put on independent programs by grade 7. In fact, my recommendation is that all students in grade 7 be reassessed who are currently on independent study programs to be sure that we aren't short-selling them and that they are we find out and we try to support them. The report is titled Raising the Bar and Closing the Gap. It argues that we need to do two things, not one. We need to pursue educational excellence for everyone, and we need to close the gap in terms of achievement and inequities.
So the issue is not with the intelligence of the students. The issue is with the policy that's in place here, the issues with the bureaucrats and how the system is run, basically.
We're not really doing enough to address specifically the needs of the students in those schools that are struggling. I've given a few examples in my report, and for example, the school system would adopt a system-wide program. It's called Caring Children. I'll give you an example. Caring Children, teaching them how to behave, how to treat one another nicely, and so on and so forth. This is actually a program that the Halifax Board promotes. Well, it works well in Bedford South, where the kids have parents who teach them things, and it reinforces what the parents... But when you have kids in, say, Harborview, or in some of the other schools identified in this report, which are doing... The kids are really struggling. That's useless to them. And so I learned that by talking to those that work in the community. I talked to four or five of the key people in Dartmouth North, and they pointed out the disconnect between what the board is doing and what parents and children need in those schools.
You have make a couple of points here. You say we should need to raise student achievement standards. You say basically here, develop a student rewards program recognizing excellence, student and school improvement. But haven't we been kind of, you know, poo-pooing or downplaying student achievement and recognizing excellence? Don't, you know, wasn't it a belief that, you know, if we focus any attention on the so-called gifted students, in quotation marks, that it's at the expense of, you know, the kids who aren't gifted? Explain this, please.
We've gone far too far in terms of rewarding wellness and talking about, you know, the anxieties that kids feel when they sit for a test. But there's a huge swing in North America back to, we need to expect more of the students, whatever their socioeconomic level, and in particular, those that are really struggling, they need to be inspired to raise their game like all other children. It's not good enough to write them off and expect less of them. Barack Obama was very eloquent on this subject. He said, we should not be accepting any excuses for underperformance, and we should do everything we can to close the gap by targeting the support where it's needed. The other thing that I'm proud of, this is an Ames report, as you can see, but how many Ames reports go on record as saying we need social reconstruction in the communities?
Mm.
This is a new wave for Ames. I'm very proud of this. It's taken a long time to get this out, this report, but what it does say is we need to be into social reconstruction of communities. We need to support the community agencies that are there in improving schools. We shouldn't have silos where it's just the school board and its programs and all those on the outside looking in, trying to get a piece of the action.
You also call for full disclosure of students' performance data school by school. And this is, again, something that the previous education system and the school boards have been, again, poo-pooing. They didn't want to, again, they didn't feel it was right to single out schools that were perhaps students were struggling. But I think it's important that, that parents know if their kids are in a school that is a school where kids are struggling or whether the school the kids are, you know, doing just fine. Thank you very much.
I'll answer that comment with this. It took me 6 months to get all the information for this report. It took me 7 years to pry it loose. And it's now there out for the public to see. And what I'm recommending is, why is it so difficult to get comparative information on how students are doing in the schools? And that's why the number one recommendation is we should have full public disclosure of student test results. And you also know I favor a provincial testing agency, which would provide the data and results for all 400 schools in Nova Scotia so that any parent anywhere could see how each student is, how each school is performing in relation to the other, and be more informed and better equipped to expect more of the school system.
But even with that information in policy today, is I can't send my kids outside of my area. So I live in Fall River, and if I wanted to, for example, to send my kids to Citadel High because I felt that it would provide a better quality education than Lockview High, I can't do that, can I?
Well, that's what the argument is in the report. It's postal code education, and they're very firm school boundaries. And I think what happens when you do expose data and you get better informed parents who actually know how students are doing in their schools in relation to others, they start asking for improvements and they start making expectations higher for the schools and those in the leadership positions. Those in positions of authority will oppose this. The teachers union will oppose it because they generally don't favor much public disclosure of anything. And I think it's up to parents and informed citizens to start speaking up.
Indeed. Another excellent report, Paul, and we'll get into some more detail on this next week. You'll join us Tuesday morning in the studio for an hour, and we'll, again, get more detail on your report and perhaps get some feedback from parents as well.
Thank you for your interest, Rick, and have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Paul. Take care. Paul Bennett from Schoolhouse Consulting, and again, this latest report that he has penned for Ames, Raising the Bar and Closing the Gap, Schools, Income, and Student Success.